Hi, and welcome to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. Just 6 weeks after getting married, Whitney O'Connor was 30 years old when she was diagnosed with breast cancer for the first time. After going through treatment that involved chemo, surgery, and more, Whitney found herself facing breast cancer a second time just a few years later, thanks to a rare genetic condition called Li-Fraumeni syndrome, which predisposes her to developing the disease. This week, Whitney took a break between proton beam therapy sessions to talk with Cure about what it was like to face breast cancer twice, and how this journey taught her to create her own silver linings, and led to the creation of an organization that aims to empower other women going through breast cancer too.
So first off, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. To start, can you just walk me through your cancer journey?
Yes, absolutely. So my cancer journey started in 2017 when I went for my annual exam and my gynecologist found a lump and wanted me to get it checked out. So then that led into mammogram, which led into biopsy, which led into private rooms where they share not so good information, which led to a phone call saying, Whitney, you have cancer. That's where it started. And it was a very interesting it was very interesting news given the fact that I had just gotten married about 6 weeks before I found this out. And this was a week after I had turned 30 years old as well. So happy birthday to me. I get stage 3 breast cancer. So it was just that's when it started. That's when my breast cancer journey started.
Yeah. So, I mean, what was it like to hear those words? You have cancer the first time, you're age 30, 6 weeks after getting married. I mean, what is that like?
Well, I will never forget it. I remember where I was. I was outside. It was 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I had just gotten home from work. I was by myself. I'd let my dog out and I got a phone call. And those of you who have heard this news, you know, when you get the phone call from the doctor, it says unknown number and you're like, oh gosh, what's this? So I answer it. And, my doctor says, I'm so sorry, Miss O'Connor. I hate to be the one to tell you this, but all your tests came back and you do in fact have cancer. And honestly, the first thought that came into my head was, oh my God, my husband married a sick person rather than a healthy person. What is going to happen? The second thought that went through my head was, oh great, I have to tell my mother, I have to tell my family that we have to do this whole cancer thing all over again. Because 2 years prior, we had lost my dad to a glioblastoma. So we had just finished this cancer stuff. And then I get that phone call. And so scrambling, trying to figure out how to share that with them was very difficult. Especially my husband, you know, explaining to him that, hey, sickness and in health, you know, now's the sick time rather. But anyway, that was the feelings that went through my brain.
Yeah. So then now you talk about this being the first time you were diagnosed. You were then diagnosed again after that, yes?
Yes, yes. So did treatment, did the chemotherapy, did the surgery, had a double mastectomy, and often got scans to, you know, to look to see updates and things like that with myself. And in 2019, December of 2019, I went for a PET scan and they found cancer again. So I had a reoccurrence. So that was cancer part two for me. And again, had to figure out what we were going to do, figure out where we were going to go from there. And since it was so quickly after the first time I had cancer, we, and when I say we, my husband and I, we were very compelled to get a second opinion. We love our team. We love our team. They encourage us to get a second opinion. Because I have a genetic disorder as well. That is something I found out while getting cancer the first time. And so, you know, I'm super special case. And so they wanted me to get a second opinion. We went to Sloan Kettering. We heard from their experts. And they recommended chemotherapy again. They recommended surgery again. And they also recommended what's called proton beam therapy. And so that's what I did. And I have 2 weeks left of proton beam therapy. I'm here in Minnesota. I said it wrong. That's how you say it. I'm here in Minnesota at the Mayo Clinic getting proton beam therapy. And so after 2 weeks, I'll be done for the time being.
That's great. So you just touched on this a little bit, but let's talk a little bit more about that genetic disorder you're talking about. Now you have Li-Fraumeni syndrome, and that basically predisposes you to developing cancer. How does that really impact your day-to-day life?
Yeah. You know, I'd be lying if I said, I just stay positive and I just kind of, you know, live my day to day and I don't even think about it. I would be lying if I said that, because that's just not true. I decided that because of this genetic disorder that I was going to have to do things differently. I knew that I was different. So I decided that if I was going to continue to fight this fight, if I was going to continue to deal with this genetic disorder, then I was going to have to do it my own way. And I was going to have to figure out how can I figure out ways to celebrate every day? How can I figure out ways to make the most out of these moments? And I know that sounds corny, and I know that that's on bumper stickers everywhere and postcards and cards, but the thing is, it's true. It's true. And, I can't let the scans of tomorrow ruin what's going on today. And that was what happened to me at first. I was very consumed with this problem that I have, this challenge. I was depressed and anxious a lot, because it's kind of a doomy subject. Like, okay, well, which cancer are we going to fight today? And when am I going to get that news that I have cancer again, and those types of things? And all of that stuff just ruins what's happening in the moment. And it's affecting the way I'm with my family, with my friends, with my husband. And then I'm missing it. I'm missing what's going on right now. So I made a decision that I was going, when those feelings come, when those feelings of anxiety and depression come, I'm going to sit with it. I'm going to, you know, have my pity party for 24 hours. And then that's it. I have to recharge, and then the next day is a new day. But when I do feel that way, I do sit with it and allow myself to be bummed about this challenge. I find that that's more helpful rather than avoiding it completely, because if I were to avoid it completely, I'm pretty sure I'd explode eventually. So that's what I do to deal with it.
That's great. So now, what kind of support system did you have? I mean, you had two different kind of sets of treatment. You know, who did you lean on? What kind of things did you kind of look forward to help kind of help you get through treatment and then beyond?
Well, here's the thing, Jessica. I am a stubborn patient. I am not the most compliant patient when people are trying to help me. And I'm sure there are listeners out there that understand what I'm saying. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like being told, hey, you need to do this, you need to go here, you need to do that. I like to do things and fight for myself. I had to really learn how to lean. I had to learn how to lean on my husband, my mother, my family, my friends, and receive. It's so hard to receive sometimes. You feel overwhelmed, you feel like it's just too much, but I had to learn how to receive. my husband was a huge, huge, and is a huge, huge support. I felt very guilty at first when I got the news that I had cancer, very guilty that he had to deal with this so soon in our marriage. And that quickly changed when he changed. He was in the fight with me. Because I'm stubborn, he had to figure out ways that he could fight, because he couldn't do it for me. He couldn't do the chemo for me. He can't do the surgery for me. He can't experience the anxiety that I had. So he figured out ways that he could fight for me to help. And that's what he did. And my friends did the same thing. I didn't always know how to say, hey, I need help with this, or hey, I need this. They just did stuff. They helped me celebrate. Something that is fun that we did that I'll share is when I had my double mastectomy, we had what's called a boo voyage. And my girlfriends organized this weekend getaway. And it was the weekend before I had my surgery. And I was, you know, very nervous. And that's not a very easy surgery. The recovery is pretty difficult. And I was losing my boobs. So, you know, it was kind of a big deal. So we went to a friend's lake house and we had a big fire. We threw all my bras in the fire and, you know, we relaxed, we laughed, we told funny boob stories, you know, and we were just being girls and trying to embrace all that stuff. And so that made the surgery so much more easy to go into. So that's one thing that was of support to me, something that we did.
That's great. Now that kind of ties into the next thing I'd like to talk about is you kind of like to find a way to turn a negative into a positive. And you did that by creating kind of like a one-for-one business called Booby Crowns. And, you know, your goal is to like empower women who have been affected by breast cancer. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of what it means for you?
Absolutely. When I was going through treatment the first time in the chemo room, my husband and I would notice that a lot of women were alone there. They didn't have someone with them. And when you're going to doctor's appointments and when you're hearing this news and trying to process it all and don't have someone with you, it's so difficult to try to take it all in and make decisions and figure out what the right thing to do is for your body and understand everything. And so I was just like, man, I wish how could I help? How could I figure this out? How could I help them figure it out? Or what is it? You know, what could I do to cheer them up? The chemo room is not the most exciting room to be in. So how could I, you know, make this a celebration in a sense? And that's where I came up with the Booby Queen Company. And I want to help women that have been affected by breast cancer understand that they were queens before the cancer and they're going to be queens after the cancer. And that's the whole point, is to remind them of their strength, remind them that they are a queen, and remind them to celebrate, even if it's something small. You know, we make a big deal out of birthdays and Christmas and Easter, and we get the streamers and the balloons and all that stuff. But why can't we do that on a random Tuesday, you know, when we're fresh out of chemo? And, you know, why can't we do it then? And what can we do, you know, even if it's just something small? Yeah, I mean, that's what the Booby Queen Company is all about. And the point is to get these crowns, and as the podcast listeners can't see it, but I put one on my head. But what I do is I make crowns out of bras and sell them. And for every crown that's bought, I donate one to a woman that doesn't have as much support as I did. And I have hospitals that help me donate those crowns. They help me identify those women. Oftentimes I'll just give them two different departments and then they'll disperse them how they see fit. People reach out to me on Facebook and Instagram and say, hey, I know somebody that is, she has limited support. Can you send her one? And I'll be like, yes, of course. So that's what we do. And it's a lot of, it's been a lot of fun to give these crowns out and to empower these women during this really, really, really difficult process. I've been the booby queen since I was 14 because my friends nicknamed me that because I was the only one with boobs. Okay. And so we were getting ready one night, we were on vacation, and one of my friends lifts up my bra and was like, "Oh my God, Whitney, is this your bra? How do you wear it?" I'm like, "Yeah, this is what my life is like at 14. And she goes, you're like the queen of boobs. And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And then that is when the booby queen was born. And so my friends would make me crowns, and I would make crowns for various occasions. Like, I have one at my bachelorette trip that says bride. Oh my God. And it was a crown. So when I got breast cancer, it was just super ironic and super just funny that, I mean, I know it's sad, but at the same time, it's kind of funny that this is tying over. And so I had these crowns. I went to a Susie G. Komen walk the first time that I had cancer, and people were coming up to me like, "Oh my gosh, I love your crown." And I honestly was like, has no one ever thought about this before? No one's ever thought about putting a crown on your head? I mean, come on. And so then that kind of led into idea after idea after idea. And when I was thinking about how can I make a contribution, I was like, boom, booby crowns.
That's great.
And so, that's how I was nicknamed the booby queen. And then the booby queen company is all kind of revolved around that. Yeah. So that is my mission, to crown any woman who's been affected, survivors or patients, because survivorship is just as difficult, I'm finding out, as going through treatment. And so, if any way that I can share that, share booby crowns and make people smile, and, you know, this is a fun job to have.
So then, kind of, you know, wrapping things up, what kind of advice would you offer someone who recently received a diagnosis of their own?
I would say to them that there are not many silver linings with cancer. So we have to create our own. We have to create our own silver linings. This is a difficult process, and it makes you feel things that you've never felt before. It makes you think things that you've never thought before. And it's important to be graceful with yourself. And that's a big, huge thing I tell my booby queens, is to be graceful. I mean, give yourself some grace with this whole thing, because it's difficult. And figure out a way to create a silver lining in some form. Do that for yourself during the process, so that you can get through it.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Thanks, Whitney, for sharing your story and helping others find joy in their cancer journey. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer Podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.